The Minnesota primary is drawing near. There's talk of fraud and mail-in voting from political leaders. No better time than to check in again with Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon. He is the 22nd Secretary of State in the state of Minnesota, elected into office in 2015. Before that, he served in the Minnesota House, also served as Assistant Attorney General. Secretary Simon, thanks for being back with us.
Thanks a lot for having me.
You're welcome. So there was a push to get more people to sign up for mail-in voting. What are the numbers like? What are you seeing?
Yeah, well, we call it vote from home because that's what it is. And it's something we've had on the books, on the laws in Minnesota for many, many decades. So this is nothing new. And the numbers, I got to tell you, are sky high. So as of last Friday, we reported that 545,000 Minnesotans had already, so far, requested to have their ballot sent to them. Again, something that's been around for a long, long time. That same number in 2018 was about 54,000. Literally, there's a tenfold increase since 2 years ago. I think a lot of people are getting the message that this is one safe way to vote this year. And I would say, normally speaking, people choose to vote this way and have for a long time. Out of comfort and convenience. You know, you can vote with your feet up, vote while you're watching TV, vote while you're eating breakfast, et cetera. But this year, there's that added component, which is a lot of people are seeing it as a public service. And by that, I mean every person who chooses to vote from home is making the polling place just a little bit safer for the folks who show up on election day. And I don't just mean the voters. I mean the 30,000 poll workers, the election judges who we need to carry on a statewide election. So for a lot of reasons, it might make sense for some folks, but it's only a choice. People are free, of course, to go to the polling place. We'll still have about 3,000 polling places open around the state. They're the same ones in most cases that folks are used to. But if your listeners are interested in having that ballot come to them at home, like a growing number are, the place to go is mnvotes.org. That's the website, mnvotes, mnvotes.org.
So let's talk about fraud. This is really important to you, whether it comes,
yep,
whether it has to do with interference from outside sources, and we'll talk about that. But also, political leaders right now are saying that mail-in votes are more susceptible to fraud. It may not be counted correctly. What are your thoughts on this?
That's just not true. So let me tell you how the system works in Minnesota. And here's one form of the question I get, and it's a very fair question for anyone to ask. I don't blame anyone for asking it. They'll say something like this. They'll say, look, you know, if people ask for their ballots to come to them at home and you're mailing out all of these ballots, all these blank ballots just floating out there, what is to prevent someone from either ripping some off a pallet in a post office or camping out by residential mailboxes that are unguarded and just swiping 2 or 10 or 50 or 100 ballots and then voting those ballots? Fair question. Absolutely fair. But the answer in Minnesota is, there are procedures in place to prevent that. And the key thing is that if any of your listeners go and order that ballot, either in person at a city hall or county courthouse or by going to mnvotes.org, you'll see that when you order that ballot, you've got to provide some personal identifying information. It can be the last 4 of your social. It can be a driver's license number. It can be other stuff if you don't have those things. But the overwhelming majority pick those two things. And unless the thief or the would-be thief, unless he knows the exact personal identifying information that the intended voter used when the intended voter ordered the ballot, you know, that thief could steal 2 or 20 or 100 or 1,000 and vote them and mail them back. And none of those ballots will be counted. They will be destroyed. They will be burned. They're never going to be counted. And I asked the question of our elections director and others in the counties around Minnesota who have been at this a lot longer than I have, decades. And I said, hey, do you know of a case in Minnesota where someone has done that? Like the successful thief has guessed correctly what the personal identifying information is and has successfully, though illegally, voted the ballot. Do you know of a case? And their answer to me is no, they don't know of a case. That doesn't mean there wasn't one that got beyond their notice, but they don't know of one. So it's a fair question to ask. I get it. You're thinking about mailing ballots and, hey, you know, what's to prevent someone from filling all these out? Totally fair question. The good news is in Minnesota, that has never been a problem, and we've got the security features in place to make sure it doesn't.
You know, I did sign up for mail-in voting this year and just sent in a ballot this week and went through your very easy steps that you included with that. But I wonder if you can kind of talk about what happens when it gets to your office and how you count it, how this whole thing goes so that people feel confident that it's as important as showing up on election day.
Oh, yeah. And one thing I want to let your listeners know is a ballot is a ballot is a ballot. There's no difference between an absentee ballot and one that's cast in person on election day. Both are counted. They're always counted, period. So what happens once it's sent in, it's usually sent to a county, sometimes a city, depending on where you live, but either a county or city. And then what happens is it sits. It must be guarded. It must be under lock and key. It's not just sitting out where people can get at it. It must be in a secure place. Until this year, in 2020, it's a little different this year because of COVID, this year, until 14 days before the election. And starting 14 days before the election, the folks who administer the elections at the county and city can start opening those envelopes. They can't until then. It's got to stay under lock and key, and they can't open them. But starting on day minus 14, they can open them. And here's the best part. Any of your listeners who choose to vote from home, you're not left to simply guess whether they received your ballot. I get it. We're all jittery about postal delays and how long is it going to take. And so it's not a question of you dropping it in the mailbox and just saying a prayer and hoping it gets there. You can go to the mnvote.org website. That's our website. You can punch in your information and you can track your ballot. You can know with certainty that it arrived and will be counted. I just did that for myself before this interview. I sent mine in a little on the late side for the primary. I sent it in middle of last week. And I got confirmation, maybe early last week, I got confirmation that as of July 30th, my ballot had been received and will be counted. So anyone can go to mnvotes.org. You pop it in the mail, but then give it a couple days, a few days, go to that website, and you can see, have they received it yet? And it'll tell you, hopefully, yes, we got it. It's going to be counted.
We're talking with Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon. So I'm assuming you are like me, that the minute you turned 18, you were excited to be able to vote, to go to a polling place. But you gave that up this year to keep other people safe, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, believe me, it's not just because I do the job I do. I just, as a person who is around this stuff a lot, I love Election Day. I mean, I think it's like the Super Bowl and the World Series combined, right? There's excitement, there's energy, there's suspense, all the rest. And I love bringing, I have a 6-year-old and a 7-year-old, and I love bringing them to the polling place as well. But this year, my wife and I have decided, no, you know, we're going to skip that this year. So we're voting both in the primary and the general from home. Again, just because, you know, we want to make the polling place just a little bit safer. And just for the benefit of your listeners, just so they know where I'm coming from on this, I kind of view this a little bit as a math problem. And the math problem is this. We got about 3,000 polling places in Minnesota. We're expecting roughly 3 million voters. So that comes out pretty easily to about 1,000 to 1. In other words, on average, just a very general average, statewide, you know, roughly 1,000 people per polling place. And from a public health standpoint in a pandemic, probably a good idea, if we can, to get that number down. I don't know what it will go to, 800, 700, 600, but something lower than 1,000 if we can. And so my wife and I are thinking, all right, there's two. So if we're at an average of 1,000 in our polling place, and some are higher, some are lower, obviously, but just sticking with the analogy here, all right, now we're at 998. And a few more neighbors do it, then we're down to 990. So it's just a little safer for everyone. It's just a little bit of a reduced risk. And so we're doing that this year. Now, I would say this, though, Heidi, for your listeners who don't want to vote from home. They want to do the traditional, the regular way of voting in the polling place. We are doing everything we can to make the polling places as safe as possible. So we have spent the money and the time and the energy to purchase and distribute to every single one of the 3,000 polling places across Minnesota supplies and PPE to make the place as safe as we can make it. So, for example, every poll worker will have for his or her use, a high grade, almost a surgical grade mask. And then for voters who show up without one, who need one, we're going to have more regular grade masks. We're going to have hand sanitizer and pumps and wipes. And then we've got some rules in place that will govern everything from how people sign their name to the automatic wipe down of every polling surface after the use by every voter, that sort of thing. So both options are available to all voters. You can go in the regular way and vote in person, or you can choose to do what a growing number are doing and simply vote from home for reasons of comfort and convenience, or maybe because you figure it's a little part that you can do to make the voting area, the polling place, just a little safer. Again, not just for the voters, but keep in mind the poll workers as well, who have to be there all day as people cycle through.
Are you confident in the U.S. Postal Service?
I would put it this way, and that's a very timely question. I am confident that they overall have the capacity to move that much mail. Forget the timing piece for a minute. So I was on a call with a bunch of other secretaries of state, and we were talking, this is though maybe a few weeks ago, with someone from the U.S. Postal Service, and he said, look, nothing compares to Christmas. You know, if we can handle Christmas, believe me, it would. This doesn't even compare to what we handle around Christmas time and the holidays. So I think they have the trucks. They have the people. You know, they have that. Now the question is, okay, what about the timing? Sure, they can move those mountains of mail, but can they do it in a timely way so that ballots aren't spoiled because they arrive too late? And there, some questions have come up that, let's just put it this way. We're telling people just to be safe to give themselves about a week. So, for example, today's Wednesday, tomorrow, Thursday, we're saying that anyone who's got a ballot and wants to mail it for the state primary, mail it on Thursday just to be safe. The deadline for getting it in is 1 week from then. It's a week from Thursday. That's the deadline for this election. So give yourself a week. Don't risk it. You know, you might not need a week. It might get there in 4 days. But just to be safe, that's what we're advising people this year. So I think the jury's still out, so to speak, on the timing piece. But the answer there is don't wait until the last minute. Now, I should tell your listeners for both the primary and the general election, keep in mind, just because you get it in the mail doesn't mean you need to return it by mail. And what I mean is you can always drop it off physically. So whatever the address is on the envelope that you receive, let's say it's the Itasca County Courthouse or it's a particular city hall, depending on where you live, you know, you don't have to return it by mail. If you or someone else can swing by there and drop it off for you, you can physically deliver it too if you just don't want to deal with the mail. And again, on the mail piece, if you do drop it in the mail, whatever day you do, if you go to mnvotes.org, the website, again, you can track it. You can know for sure, did it arrive or didn't it? It'll tell you and you'll know.
Do you have enough election workers? And if not, are you looking for people right now?
Great question. I would say one of the key things that I'm looking at, and that frankly is a potential worry, is exactly that. The poll workers, the election judges. Statewide, we need 30,000 people to step up and do that job. And normally, every year, that has not been a problem. That is a function that is taken on by local government. So our office doesn't have a direct role in that. It's cities and counties, mostly cities, that hire and train and pay election judges. But we want to have their backs and outline strategies and all the rest. And we need 30,000 people statewide to run an election system effectively. And if you look at the trouble that some states have had, Wisconsin, Georgia, others, where you saw long lines and chaos in the polling places in some places, that was due in part to last-minute understaffing, where they had enough people, but last-minute, a certain segment just declined to serve. And so we want to avoid that. And it's no surprise that a big portion of our election judges over the years tend to be seniors, tend to be retirees. They do a phenomenal job. And there's some chunk of them that are just deciding to be extra cautious this year and take themselves out of the running. So we have to replenish their ranks. We are reaching out constantly. I am personally in our offices to counties and cities to make sure we can advise them about how they can best fill those slots. For example, giving city employees or county employees the required 2-hour training. And so we're cautiously optimistic. And to your listeners who are interested in this potentially, I just want to say this is a paid position. A lot of people think mistakenly that it's a volunteer gig. It's not. It's a paid position. It's only 2 hours of training. You get paid for the training too. And we're going to make the polling place as safe as we possibly can. We're working on getting the numbers down in terms of people voting from home, and we've got the PPE and the supplies. So for anyone who's interested or even interested in hearing more, I would recommend two things. One would be to go to mnvotes.org and fill out an interest form. The second, I would say even better way is just to call a city hall. It doesn't need to be your city hall. In Minnesota, you can go across city or county lines. You don't have to go where you live. So if someone, you know, in Grand Rapids hears that they need folks in Bemidji or vice versa, they can do that. That's perfectly fine. People as young as 16 can do this work. You don't have to be 18, just have to be 16. And so it's a really good opportunity, and we need people to step up and do that. But to your question, almost everyone's feeling really good about the primary. The general, you know, it remains to be seen. I think a lot of people are taking a wait and see attitude in terms of where coronavirus goes, where is it spreading, you know, how safe are things going to be. So that, say, might be a challenge in the November election. So we're already working on that. We're looking beyond next week's primary and working on making sure we have those 30,000 slots filled across the state. Again, local governments do that, but our office wants to make sure that we at least have their back and are giving them some strategies or some ideas for how they might recruit those slots.
MNvotes.org for that, or contact your local government?
Oh, yeah. I would say, you know, the best thing would be to contact your city.
Okay.
Your city or township, and contact them, or any city, frankly. It doesn't have to be your own, as I say. It could be anywhere else you care to do this work. But you can also go to mnvotes.org, our website, and fill out, you'll see it there. It says interested in being an election judge. You can fill out a form online.
What about safety when it comes to outside interference? What are you looking at there to make sure that everything is on the up and up?
Yeah, you know, 2016 was a real turning point when it comes to elections in this country. That's the year, the last presidential election, where a foreign government at least tried to interfere with our infrastructure, meaning databases, hacking into systems, things like that. And in Minnesota, the system worked and we kept the bad guys out, but we're always thinking about that now. And so in the years since then, I got to give credit here. The federal government has really stepped up, both in terms of money that they provided to us and to the states to combat this problem, and know-how, just expertise. We regularly get visits from the intelligence community, intelligence agencies who come physically to our office in Minnesota, basically try to hack us, try to find any soft spots, any holes we need to fill, and we fill them. And that's expensive, but we've got some of the funds now to do that. And so I don't want to give a roadmap to the bad guys here and say too much in terms of details, but you know, we feel cautiously optimistic. And keep in mind for your listeners, one thing that puts us ahead of the curve in Minnesota is we're a paper ballot state. Right? Not all states are. Some states vote very commonly electronically with no receipt. We got good old-fashioned paper. If something goes wrong, if someone has a bad hunch or a tip or anything like that, we got something you can feel and touch and see. Paper ballots, which are obviously very hard to hack. So I'm less worried about mischief in the polling place, you know, like changing a vote total, that kind of thing. What worries me more and most is not that, it's the databases. It's getting into the computer systems, things like that. And so that's where we're putting a lot of resources, working with counties as well and cities to make sure that everyone has a secure system. So we're in the process right now of doing an 87-county security scan, you might call it. We partnered with a private entity, and all 87 counties are going to get this, I'll call it kind of a scan, an overview, let's say, of their security preparedness before the November election.
Okay. Well, Secretary Simon, I have just one tiny question for you before we go. Why does voting matter?
Look, our vote is our voice. It really is. And it's our way of determining who governs us and how. And I can't put it any better than the words I saw on a t-shirt a while ago. And the t-shirt said, failure to vote is not an act of rebellion. It's an act of surrender. I like that because there's some people who think, hey, you know, I'm not going to vote because I want to send a message. I don't think it's sending a message. It's really kind of giving up. And it's really giving someone else who might disagree with you on everything an extra voice, an extra vote in a sense. And so, look, Minnesotans love to vote. We will find a way. It doesn't matter. We're number one in the country. We have been the last two elections in a row. We were number one in 2018 and number one in 2016. So we're looking for three in a row this time. But even when we're not number one, we're always at the very top of the list. And I think there's a reason for that. People in the state get it. You know, it doesn't matter, liberal, conservative, whatever. People get that elections matter. we just got to all step up and stand up and be voters this time.
You need a voting hat trick, sounds like.
That's right. The voting hat trick. That's it.
That's Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon. You can find information on all the things that we were talking about today at mnvotes.org. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.